Revelation chapter 3 this morning, and just to love the emphasis on belonging to Jesus. If you're saved, you belong to Him. He's purchased you with His blood. And that goes right in with what we're going to be talking about this morning from the Word of God in a message entitled, Halfway in Between. Now, I don't know if you have, some of you might have come from or grew up. I grew up in northern New York State, and I grew up in the mountains. And we have in our town, we grew up in the town of Keene, New York, and northern part of New York there in the Adirondack Mountains. And in our town was about 1,000 people. It was about 600 during the winter, and it grew to about 1,200 to 1,000 in the summer. Had a lot of summer camps and summer homes up there. Just a beautiful place. Was a vacation spot. I like to think of it and grew up just a little bit outside of Lake Placid, New York. And so what was it like? It's like growing up in a Hallmark movie. If you want to, you know, the Christmas and the snow coming down. I loved growing up there. But one of the favorite pastimes that my brother and I like to do and our family is we love to climb the mountains. In Keene, New York, there was the home of all of the high peaks in New York State, 46 of them. And there was a beautiful array of mountains, and these are not short mountains, and they're not as tall as the Rockies. I know the Rockies are a little bit bigger, but some of these mountains were pretty big, and one of them was named Giant Mountain, and it was called Giant Mountain for good reason. I remember I went up, I was my brother and one of his friends and myself. I was about 12 years old, and we decided that we're going to go up Giant Mountain. Now, Giant Mountain, it was giant. Not only was it tall, but it was a very long trail. And you want to think of a hiking trail. Hiking trails around here are flat, okay? There's no hills around here. They're just flat. Hiking trail, that's a walking path to us. I mean, we're not rock climbing, but we're hiking. We have boots on, and we're ready to go. We have our backpacks loaded down with water. I mean, this is a five-mile hike up. This mountain ascended was upwards. It was almost 4,000 feet. It was pretty tall. And we were going up, and what do you climb a mountain for? You know, some people do it for their exercise. You climb a mountain to get to the top. The view on top of these mountains is completely unbelievable. To see for miles and miles and just see God's creation, and that you accomplish something by getting to the top of that mountain. You know, we decided, we were excited, we had done some smaller mountains, and we're going to go up this mountain. And we just got going, and we went, and it seemed we went on for eternity. We started up about 7 o'clock in the morning just as it got light, and it was about 11 o'clock, and we had been hiking for 4 hours. And we said, man, we got to be close to the top. We were going up, you know, steep faces like this, going over boulders, going over trees. And then we got to a sign. You are halfway up the mountain. This is unbelievable. Yeah, they have the mile markers, and we had gone 4 miles. Well, lo and behold, further on down the mountain, we had decided to take the long trail. Because we didn't have a map. Always take a map when you're mountain climbing. Amen. Always take a map. We had taken the long trail, which was almost 7 miles. And so we had got halfway to the top. We were exhausted. Our feet were hurting. Our legs were hurting. And it was, you know, we could see pretty good. And we were tempted to say, you know what? We've come this far. We only made it halfway. Let's just take a few pictures here and go home. In Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look at a church that did just that, that they got stuck halfway in between. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Let's all stand our respect, please, for reading of the Word of God, Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 20 this morning. And the angel of the Lord of the church of Laodicea write these things, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If they may hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Let us pray together. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you for thy word. Lord, I pray that if any Christian here this morning, that they are in this place of being halfway in between. Halfway in between the valley and the mountain peak, Lord, that they would come to you. Lord, I pray for any sinner in here this morning that they have not accepted you as their Savior. Lord, that they would not be in the valley of sin and shame, hanging over the pit of hell by a thread, dear Lord. But I pray that they would accept thy precious gift of salvation. And Lord, in Sunday school, we looked at the difficulty of so many of realizing their need, that they need to be saved. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would work in their heart. Bless us this morning, dear Lord. Work in hearts. Encourage us, dear Lord. Show us thy way and thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Halfway in between. And a good illustration of the Christian life is beginning in the valley and going on to the peak of heaven. Where we all begin, we must understand something in our Christian life. We must mark where we begin. We all begin in the same place, in the lost, dark valley of sin. The darkness is where all vileness dwells. We begin in this place in a lost condition, without God, without hope, and lost in the valley of the shadow of death. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, we see a description given of the darkness. For they that sleep in the dark in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Night and darkness in the New Testament especially is not a good thing. Darkness is a picture of sin. Darkness is a picture of hopelessness. Darkness is a picture of the pit of hell that we will end up for all of eternity, where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 20. John chapter 3, verse number 20 this morning. This is where we begin. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And when we are a sinner, when we are lost in our sin, we see the light of the gospel of Christ, and we see our sinful condition, and then we come to a place where we get saved, and we are saved from the wretched darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Aren't you so glad this morning? If you're saved, aren't you glad that you're saved out of the wretched darkness of sin? Would you say amen? Aren't you glad of that this morning? Ephesians 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when we are saved, we are pulled out of that valley of darkness and of sin, and we are set upon the path going up the mountain. We must remember that's where we began. Aren't you glad that we're not there anymore? Amen. So I understand some people, they get backslidden. You know, every illustration given in the Bible, backslidden. How do you go slide backwards? I don't think if you're standing on a level surface here, I think it'll be very difficult when I just walk and I stop moving, that very hard for me to slide backwards. Amen? Because I'm on a flat surface. When you're backsliding is someone that is in an incline going up. I don't know if you've ever climbed a hill or something like that when it was raining and in the mud. We had a lot of rain where we were from, and there was this gully that we had behind our house. And I remember one day it had been raining for days and was always covered with leaves and nettles, and we would just go down to this gully behind our house. And we went down one day, and there's a little creek back there, and we went down. It was a little slippery on the way down, but this was very soft earth. And on our way back, as we began to walk up it, you know, just as normal, we found out we couldn't get more than two or three steps before we started sliding. I mean, this is just muck and leaves, and it just, the more you tried, the harder it got. And then we would just go and stop a little bit, and if you even hesitated for a moment, you start sliding back down. You would start backsliding. And that's what happens in our Christian life when we stop forward progress. When we stop going up the mountain of the Christian life, and yes, the Christian life is a mountain, amen. It is not a garden party. It is not something that is easy, but it's something that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us power to do. And as we go, we get got saved and we started on this journey on the mountain path of life, the path that leads ever upwards to heaven. We are excited to begin this path. You know, when we're in the valley of sin and darkness, we get saved, we're excited. It's upward. I'm going toward the Lord. But after a while, we are in our zeal and true desire and our desire to love God and begin, then the trials begin. Then the weariness sets in. And then we come to the plight of the halfway Christian. Just like that mountain, that giant mountain that we started climbing, we got to the halfway point. And the halfway point, we were not the only ones there. There were others that were there that said, you know, this mountain is a lot harder than people expect, told us it was going to be. Because, of course, there's always the people that climb the mountain. Oh, it was easy. It was so easy to get up there, you know what? And you're thinking of that person, I don't know who this person was, or Superman or something. This is not an easy climb. And as we go up, went up there, there were other people there, and they're having the same decision. Were they going to just go back? And there were people that were taking pictures by the halfway sign, and this was before really the age where there was digital cameras, but it wasn't very common up there. I mean, we didn't have cell phones until I was 18 years old up there, okay? I grew up in the sticks, all right? We didn't have cell phone towers. We had nothing. Had no cell phones until I was about 18 years old. So my brother was a ham radio operator, amateur radio. And so if you wanted to get in contact with someone without a telephone, that was pretty much the only way. You had to know somebody else, know the frequency they were on and things like that. But there were people taking pictures with their little Polaroid disposable cameras that you could buy anywhere, you know, tourist area, you could buy. They were just taking pictures, you know, and they were taking pictures. Hey, we're halfway. And they were, and there was a little outcropping where you could see part of the valley. You could see part of the valley. Then you could look up and you could still see the peak of the mountain. You could still see it. And it looked so ominous. Like, man, we're only halfway. It looked so ominous. But the view, this is a beautiful view. It's not as good as up there, but this will do. Oh, famous last words for many Christians. That will do. That's what the devil wants to whisper in your ear. Oh, that'll do. That'll be okay. And as you get up and the tempter will come to you and say, well, you've gone far enough. You've worked hard. You've worked hard. Why don't you? You're halfway up the mountain. You're in a place of rest. You've worked hard. You've come a long way. You've come a long way, a lot further than those people down there. And those people up there, you know, they're just crazy. They're just crazy people. Who wants to go through that? You don't deserve that. So, Pastor, how do you know what's going on in my heart and my mind? How do you know that? Because the devil does that to everybody. Wants you to stop halfway. And in the Christian life, that is the mountain, there is a city at the halfway point, full of Christians that stopped halfway. They said, you know what? This is good enough. Now, did they look at the Word of God to see what He says about it? No, they said, oh, this is good enough. And just like this church of Laodicea, the Laodiceans, they were stuck halfway in the middle. They weren't on fire for God, but they weren't indifferent towards God either. They were kind of in the middle. They were just your normal, new evangelical, let's make everybody happy kind of church we have today. Let's just make everybody happy. And it's kind of creeping into our independent fundamental Baptist churches too. Well, let's just, you know, let's not get so extreme about things. Let's not be so caught up in prayer. You know, let's just be balanced, right? We need to be balanced, absolutely, but we need to be biblically balanced. There's a difference between the world's balance and God's balance. And we need to understand, remember, God's balances are always just, and we need to follow them. So you've gone far enough, you've worked hard enough, and then I said, let's just make up a nice town, a nice city for you here. There's a nice city, there's all these other people here. Look, everybody else stopped here too. It's okay, you're not alone. You know, it tries to make us feel better. But there's a word in our English language that is a very interesting word. That's the word mediocre. Well, what does that mean? If you go back to the Latin roots of it, there's two Latin words. The word medius, which means middle, and ochris, meaning rugged mountain. The word mediocre literally means halfway up the mountain. And someone who is mediocre is someone who is stuck halfway. They're not giving it all, but they haven't quit either. They're mediocre. And God is not interested in the mediocre Christian. God is not interested in the lukewarm Christian. God is not interested in the Christian that is stuck halfway in between. He is concerned with one that's going to say, Lord, I'll follow you to the top. And you know what? We got to that halfway point on that mountain, and it was tempting. We were tired, and we discussed it, but I'm so thankful. Our parents taught us this. We've come this far, we're going all the way. We're going all the way. And we went for another 2.5 hours. And it was hard. And the last half of the mountain was harder than the first half. And we went and we clawed and we got up to that mountain. And I'll tell you one thing. We've got up to that peak. I'll tell you about that in a minute. The village on the side of this mountain is vast. It's a city. And there's going to be everybody there is going to try and tell you that you need to just stay in that place. Because they don't want to be convicted by you going on. Because they had come to that same place in their life. They had come to that same place in their Christian walk. And they listened to the devil's temptation. They listened to that, well, you've worked hard enough. Or if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, didn't that what happened in the pavilion? Oh, just rest for a while, Christian. Just rest. Just rest for a little while. Just lay down and sleep. Well, what happened when Christian woke up? The night had come. He was behind. He had slept for hours instead of just a few moments of rest. And that's exactly what the devil will come. When you're tired and when you've been working and when you've been going, he's going to come to you and say, you've done enough. He's going to come to you and said, well, that's fine. You just wait right here. Don't go above and beyond. Just do the bare minimum. A.W. Tozer put it this way. Those that are stuck halfway up the mountain, they are morally above the hardened sinner, but are spiritually beneath the shining saint. And they're okay with that. They're a Christian. They're faithful-ish. You know, I don't go so extremes of reading my Bible for 2 hours every day. I mean, that's just so extreme. I mean, I'm faithful, I go to church, and I tithe when I can. I give to missions when I can. I mean, I go soul winning when my schedule allows. You know, I give out a track when I think it's necessary. But I'm not one of those people that just hands out a track willy-nilly to everything that moves. Why not? Amen? They might get saved. Our world needs it, amen? We need more Christians that go hand out tracts everywhere, amen? We need more of that. Need people that are willing to witness at any moment. We need more Christians in their Bible. We need more Christians praying instead of being stuck halfway in between. Because the halfway in between Christian, let's look back at Revelation chapter number 3. What is the picture of the Christian that's halfway in between? This is their plight. Let's look at verse number 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow, that's a very harsh criticism. That's a very harsh snap to reality. And you know what? The halfway in between Christian, if you're in that place today, you think you're doing just fine. You think you're fine. It's a pastor. What are you talking about? I am faithful and I do just fine. I am good and I'm having the blessings of God in my life and I just have all this going on. What are you talking about? Just totally confused. That's what's going on with this church. They were confused. Lord, what do you mean? Spew us out of your mouth. We're fine. And the Lord says, no, you don't realize that you're poor and that you're wretched and blind and naked, that you're missing out on what I have for you, that you don't even see it. Why? Because you listen to the devil, the tempter. Everybody else is here. What is the solution? It's a drastic statement. A lukewarm Christian who lives in the city of mediocrity will not be usable to the Lord. God is not going to use someone who is blind. God's not going to use someone who can't see the condition that they're in. And it's a creeping paralysis that's paralyzing our churches today. That, well, I'll serve God if it fits my schedule. I'll serve God if I think I have the talents for it. I'll serve God when I'll go to the mission field when I prepared for 20 years. You know, nothing wrong with preparation, amen, brother? Nothing wrong with that. But some people, they prepare till kingdom come and wait for them to feel comfortable and ready. That they just prepare. I've been preparing for 20 years. Now, if God called them to do it, they better prepare. But that's really a rare thing. It happens sometimes, but we need to be ready to go when God says, not when we think we're ready. And what the problem with the halfway Christian is, they have decided where they want to stay. They have decided what's expected of them. They've decided what God wants them to do. They've decided the whole thing. Instead of saying, God, not by will, but thine. Not what I think, not what I expect. What do you expect in your word? What do you want me to do? And Jesus very clearly shows them, you are poor. You're increased with goods. Because they'll say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need anything, not even God. God, I'm okay in this place. This is a mediocre Christian. Oh, I'm doing great, God. I don't need anything from you today. I don't need any blessing. I'm great. I don't need any help. I'm doing fine. I don't need any power. I'm good. I've got enough. That is the wrong attitude of a Christian. A true Christian says, Lord, I am nothing. Lord, I need your power. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need your protection. I can't go through today without you. That's the true Christian. You know why the mediocre Christian doesn't need anything? He thinks it's because he's doing nothing. Someone who's doing nothing needs nothing. Someone who's sitting down doing nothing for God is going to need nothing in his heart. Oh, what he really needs is a desire. What he really needs is to be going up the mountain and going in the power of God so he doesn't slide back down to the bottom. What happens when you get to the top of that mountain? You know, when you're climbing a mountain and you're tired, those of you who maybe do ruck marches can encounter this in the army. Is you're going, and your pack is heavy, and your boots are heavy. Everything is heavy. If you've been walking a long time, everything just turns heavy. Your boots are heavy, and we had drank almost all of our water, and we're to the top, getting to the top, and it says only half more mile. Oh, and once again, we got to a little outcropping. Oh, this is such a great view. But at the top of every one of these mountains was something put there by the United States Geological Service. It's a little round metal disc that is put right at the very highest point, and it was put there by surveyors that measured the exact height of the mountain, and that is the exact point of the summit. And if you wanted to become a member of the club, I grew up there, I don't know if it's 46 or 49, I think it was 49. 49er, if you wanted to become a 49er, 49 of the high peaks, you had to take a picture next to those things. My brother and I, we wanted to at least get five or six. I have about pictures of five or six of them. You know, there's so many mountains. It takes a lot of people like 10 years to do them all. But you get up to the top there, and there's a little outcropping, and the view was great. But we weren't to the top yet. So you know what? We've come this far. We're not going to quit now. We're going to push on to the top. And we got to the top, and I'll never forget. It was the best view of any mountain I've ever been on in my life. Whole valley where I lived, you could see the whole thing. We just stayed up there for about an hour and a half just looking. We ate a lunch. It was a late lunch, about 1 o'clock by that time. And we just stood up there. And, you know, as you're on the way, you can get grumbling and complaining. Children of Israel did that. They were climbing their mountain. They started complaining and grumbling. It's not worth it. Let's go back to the valley. Let's go back down to where we started. Let's go back down there. God wants a Christian that says, Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied except anything but the peak. Lord, you want me to go to the peak? I'm going to go to the peak with thy might and thy power. What does Jesus say What is the answer? Aren't you so glad the Word of God doesn't only point out our sin and point out our shortcomings, but He gives us a solution. Amen? And here's the solution. Verse number 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He brought them to the reality of their condition, but then also he told them, you need to resume the climb. Why were they blind? They were destitute of the riches of Christ, but full of their own works and opinions. They were poor, blind, and naked. They had made an opinion of themselves. They put an expectation of themselves. Look at Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64, verse 6. That is how they came to that place. They leaned to their own understanding. They leaned to their own desires. They leaned onto their own righteousness, onto their own way. But ye are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, and have taken us away. Our opinions, our desires, our understanding is nothing compared to God's. They thought they were doing okay, but they were poor. Their clothes were tatters and rags, and they were blind. They could not see that they needed to keep going. They were even so blind to think, well, this is where God wants me. Amen? This is where God wants me. God wanted me. You know what? That's what God has impressed upon my heart. I just need to be halfway up the mountain. This is where God wants me. God never calls you to a place He doesn't want you to be in. And God very clearly shows us here, He does not use lukewarm Christians. He doesn't use those who are halfway in between. He doesn't use those that aren't sold out to Him and love Him with all of their heart, mind, and soul, and their strength. So we looked at that this morning. And Jesus gave some very clear instructions. Before they could continue the climb, they needed to be properly equipped. They needed the provisions from God, from Christ's riches. Turn to Isaiah 55, verse 1. Look back over to Isaiah 55, verse number 1. They needed the riches of Christ. But how could they buy it? They cannot. Isaiah 55, and verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to the Lord. He gives freely to all. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. He said, Lord, I have been the halfway in between Christian. I'm stuck. I don't want to be stuck anymore, Lord. I want to continue the climb. Will you equip me? We see here the gold, tried in the fire, pure gold. Oh, the things of the world, they'll offer you gold, but it's not pure. It's fake gold. How many know what fool's gold is? Pyrite. You don't know what that is. You've seen that? Oh, it looks like gold. It feels like gold. It has the shine of it. And it even, bends like gold. We found some pyrite one time. But that's a very powerful illustration. And that people, those fool's gold, people that went out to California and Alaska in the gold rush, they would dig in and they found a claim. And they would say, well, we found gold. But they weren't experienced. And they found gold and they dug it up, veins and veins of it. And they would take it in. They said, we're rich, we have worked, and we have spent all of our money on this. And as the investment's paid off. And they'd go to the geologist, and then he would look at it. And then he would put a little chemical test on it. He would shake his head. He said, sir, this is not pure gold. It's called pyrite. It's not worth a thing. But I had everything in that. I invested all my time. I invested all that I had. Sorry, sir. It's fool's gold. It's not real. Oh, and that's what the devil will do to you. He'll try and sell you gold that's not real. He'll try and sell you a bill of goods that'll never come. He'll try and sell you a stock that doesn't even exist. And you get to the end and it's worthless. You get to the end of your life. And you realize that you were a fool and listened and stayed halfway in between. And you get to the end of your life and you will have a life of regrets that you listened to the devil, that you listened to your own understanding, that you didn't listen. And you can see those other Christians at the peak. You can see how God has used them. And you look up and say, why didn't I do that? But it's too late for you. They needed to put off their own idea of riches, these Christians. They needed to take on the eternal riches of Christ. All through the New Testament talks about the riches of Christ, the abundant blessings. Not only that, they need to be clothed in Christ's clothing. The saints are always clothed in shining white. If you look in Revelation, all throughout Revelation, you see the white robes. What does that white signify? It signifies righteousness, holy living, doing right, getting the sin out of your life, and saying, Lord, clothe me. Show me how I need to live. Not the way I think I need to live, but show me how I need to live. Look at Revelation 16 and verse 15. Just over a few chapters. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Be ready, watching their garment. I think if any of us in here today, if we went out and, guys, we had a brilliant, wonderful white suit. You know, it just looked great. We had the white shoes to go along with it. I know about 50 years ago that was popular. It's not as popular today, but let's say we had that, okay? A beautiful white suit, and we had to wear that every single day. I think you would be careful with it, I think. Because what happened? Nothing worse than a nice white suit that everyone can see the dirt. I'm so glad that God is pure and white and holy, and if we're living right, we better keep a short account with God, because you can see any blotch of sin that's on it. Keep your garment. Keep it clean. Ladies, if you had a pretty white dress that you wore every single day, oh, you take care of that, because everybody would see the dirt if you got dirt on it. The white, holy garments of God's Christ's righteousness. It's a question. Are you saved? Are you clothed in Christ's righteousness, not your own? Remember, ours are filthy rags. We're all unclean. We're all sinners. But if you trust in Christ for salvation, you have the shining white garment of salvation and justification. But right here, he's talking to Christians. Even though we're saved, we can still soil our garment. But Christ can make it clean again. Praise God for that. He can restore it and make it clean again. Our idea of outward living is always substandard. Remember that. Our idea of what holy living is always substandard. God's idea and God's command is always the way. They also needed to be healed of their blindness by Jesus. They thought they were doing just fine. Isn't that what the Pharisees did? The blind leading the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. They were blind because they were so full of themselves. They were blind because they were full of their own pride. That's how we're blind when we say, God, I can handle it. I've got it. I can do it. I know enough about the Bible to make my own way. We become so spiritual. Well, I know the Bible, so I know the way to go. That is true. We must be very careful of that statement. A truly humble person is, I'm going to search the Scriptures and I'm going to pray and know the way. This is the way. However, we can, in our own, we say the right things. Well, I know enough about the Bible. I know the right decision to make without checking with God. Without going back to the Scriptures and studying it out again. Amen? Well, I know enough. I'm just going to go make this decision. I have enough. That's still leading to your own understanding. Make sure that you have God's understanding. Double check. Double check, triple check, quadruple check. We can never check God's word enough for the right answer. Amen. It's always going to be the same answer, though, because his word never changes. They thought they were doing just fine, and Jesus clearly showed them that they were not. But what is this eye salve? Responding to the Scriptures. Responding in humbleness. What is the eye salve? It's the eye salve of humbleness and of meekness. Lord, I'm blind. I can't see the way. I don't know the way. Will you help me? You know what he'll do? He'll take that spiritual blinders that we have on. We can be saved and still have blinders on. We're blind and destitute of the truth and we're lost. But as a Christian, we can become blind just like Paul was blind and he had the miracle of those scales being taken from his eyes. Why? Because he was proud and never declared Christ as Savior. He was proud, but God humbled him. And that humbleness that comes, he was no longer quenching the Spirit of God. And the Christian that responds to the Scriptures and comes in humbleness to God and no longer quenches the Spirit will never lead you to be halfway up the mountain and stay there. But the devil tempts, and the Christian quenches the Spirit, and then you stay. No longer quenching the Spirit, but allowing the Spirit of God to heal your heart and to put you back on that road, putting away, following their own counsel and wisdom. Let me ask you something as a Christian. Don't you want to make it to the peak? We look at D.L. Moody. We look at Billy Sunday. We look at the great missionaries. They made it to the peak. They made it. They made mistakes along the way. Even some of them stopped halfway for a time. They didn't stay there long. They made it to the peak. We see the great examples in Scripture. We see Moses. He made it to the peak, literally. On top of Mount Sinai, he made it to the peak to be with God. We see Elijah, he really made it to the peak. He surpassed, he's got to the peak and kept on going up to heaven. We see Paul, he made it to the peak. Peter, though he stopped on the trail for a while and denied Christ. Some believe he never even got started. But then after that, he got saved and really got on the trail. Started going up. He made it to the peak. It's God's will for every single Christian to make it to the peak. Every single person sitting in here this morning, it is His will for you to make it to the peak. And everybody's mountain's peak a little bit different than somebody else's. Everybody's trail is a little different. Some people's trails are harder. They're all different. And we can't look at somebody else's trail. Well, I'm looking at there, and they're having some trouble, and I've had more trouble than they have, so I must be doing okay. We can't do that. We must follow the trail that God has for us and get to that peak. And remember, the devil's going to want to say, hey, you've gone far enough, and you know what? All the way up to the end, every milestone, the devil said, you've gone far enough. And say, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to stop when I'm in the grave and with my Lord in heaven. That's when I'm going to stop, when I've reached my goal. Mediocrity is never a good thing. Well, our culture today, that's just fine. Do what you can do. Everybody understands. Just do your best. And if your best is some Saturday, it's okay. And the churches today, oh, you can't win a soul to Jesus, it's okay. It's just not your gift. Oh, you're too afraid to hand out tracts, it's okay. It's all right. That's just the grace God's given you. Sounds kind of silly, but this really happens. There is no challenge to get back on the trail and go to the peak. Some of us go up the trail a little faster than others. Some go a little slower. But they're going. Amen? Remember that. They're going. Don't be critical of someone. They're not moving fast enough. They're, at least they're moving. Amen? And going forward. And if you keep looking at them, you're going to go be sliding backwards pretty soon. It's okay. When did mediocrity become okay? When we stop looking at Jesus, it becomes okay. When we stop looking at the standard, it becomes okay. There used to be a day in our country, I'm talking about patriotism here, there used to be a day in our country that we weren't okay with being second best. 50 years ago, we had the space race in our country. And some people say, well, it was a war of technology. What it was a battle between freedom and slavery. Freedom and communism. It was defense in a lot of things, but we had a president, President Kennedy. You can agree or disagree with his policies, but he would not allow our country to be mediocre. He made a promise to put a man on the moon within 10 years when we hadn't even launched one rocket successfully. And there was a team of people around this country, engineers and people. They said it was one of the greatest experiences of their life because when they wanted to quit, they decided, no, we're going to go to the peak. Initiative. Wanting to finish the job, not allowing obstacles to make you quit. That is just an example of worldly initiative. Don't we have so much more in Christ? These people were lost without God, many of them. Some of them were saved. But don't we have so much more in Christ? A so much more important goal than putting a man on the moon? We have more important goal to see the kingdom of heaven come into the hearts of men. That's our goal. Don't we have a more important goal to aspire to? Say, Lord, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go to the peak. I will not allow, dear Lord, with thy grace, my name to be in the category of the mediocre. Stuck halfway in between, I will never dwell in the city of mediocrity. I will dwell on the mountaintop. And you know what? Sometimes at the mountaintop, you're all alone. Because more people quit halfway than get to the top, unfortunately. When you get up the top of those tall mountains and they spend hours upon hours, there's not that many people at the top. An awful lot of people at the bottom that said, well, I tried, but I didn't make it. I didn't push on to the top. And many times the devil wants to convince you that you don't have any spiritual gas in your tank to keep going. You know what you need to do? Lord, I need to fill up. Will you help me? That's how you get to the top. Are you stuck halfway in between? Once you get out of the city mediocrity today, maybe you're on the way up to the peak. Keep going. Don't quit. Maybe you've been tempted this week to quit, to give up, and say, no, I'm just going to keep going. You keep going. Maybe some of you are still in the valley. You've never been saved. You can be saved today. Maybe some of you are just stopped for a moment, and that voice is talking to you. You worked hard enough. You've done a good job. Just wait here. Don't listen. Decide this morning, Lord, forgive me for listening. I'm going to keep going. Because the moment you stop is the moment you start going backwards. Sliding and sliding and sliding. And what people don't realize is that city of mediocrity, it's constantly moving back and back and back. Slowly moving back to the valley of the shadow of death. And that's what happens. You begin to slide slowly as a Christian, and things you said you would never do, you begin doing. Things you thought you would never say, you begin saying. The thoughts you never thought you would have, you begin going through your mind. And down, and down, and down, and down, and down, until you're in the pit with the hardened sinner, back where you began. God doesn't want you there. God wants you at the peak. Say, Lord, will you help me?